And that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing.
Welcome one, welcome all, and welcome to an early episode of The Paranormal Patriot. Yes, I will be releasing this episode a couple days early. I will be leaving for Holland State Park tomorrow. Hopefully I don't have to swim there. Here in Michigan, we are going to be inundated. They're talking upwards of 6 to 10 inches of rain, and I know for you, Harvey Gotts and Andrews in Texas and Louisiana, that might not seem like a lot, but here in Michigan, that is a ton of water. So I will be leaving there tomorrow. Hopefully, a buddy of mine and I will be flying to Holland, Michigan, taking a two-hour drive and making it maybe 30-minute flight. That would be awesome. But, you know, the weather is going to be way out of whack. We are just, a front is going to stall right over Michigan and just continue to just drop gallons and buckets of rain on us. So this show is going to be a couple days early. I'm releasing it on a Thursday. And then, depending on what time I get back, hopefully I get back fairly early on a Sunday, I'm going to have a special show on Sunday. I'm going to basically talk about the release of the UFO documents that the government are releasing tomorrow. I wanted to talk about it, but, you know, family time comes first. There are much more important things than this show, and that's family time. So I will be doing a show today, posting it today, and then Sunday the plan is to do a recap of what the government said in their report. And I can tell you right now, it's going to be a whole lot of nothing. There's not going to be any bombshells coming out. It's basically going to say it's not ours, but we don't know what it is. They're not going to call it alien. They're not going to call it extraterrestrial, because that would be too easy. They want to keep us in suspense more, but they don't want us to know what they know. But I will go over it, and it's going to be a chance for me to say I told you so. Man, I hope I'm right. But on this episode of the show, last week it kind of struck a nerve with a lot of people because I got so many emails from people don't really want to use that message line yet, apparently. I mean, that message line is sitting out there, 989-607-4722, and nobody wants to use it yet. But that's fine. I'm still getting a lot of people emailing me and messaging me through Facebook. And it struck a nerve because a lot of people were like, this is ridiculous. How can the government, the federal government, essentially sponsor spying on one another? Well, they shouldn't. They can't, but they do. And if you think this is the first time that's ever happened, well, you're going to be sorely mistaken, because I'm sure this has been going on for a long, long time. So with that being said, I'm going to continue the trend of basically telling you how screwed up this country is right now. I've got a couple stories here that are just going to blow your mind. I've got a clip, about a 39-second clip from Joe Biden basically picking a fight with the citizens of this country. The half of the citizens that support the Second Amendment, well, probably way more than half, that support the Second Amendment, he's picking a fight with them. And I'm going to let you hear that clip, and then I'm going to talk to you about it. So I really need you to sit back, and I really need you to relax. Just do what you need to do to relax and open that mind. Because some of you still, even on this side of the aisle that we are on, the right side of the aisle, you still have a closed mind as to what is really happening in America. There's a lot of people in denial about what is happening in America. I don't know if they are blind or they just don't want to believe it. It's kind of the same thing. But trust me, this is happening. And by me doing this show and giving you this information and going over these articles and letting you listen to the audio right from essentially the horse's mouth, I'm trying to prove to you what is happening in this country, because it's a pretty scary time in America. If you look at history, you could say that the closest scenario to what we have now in terms of divisiveness and hatred towards one another would have to be the Civil War. And you can disregard the 60s, where the quote-unquote race riots were. There's much more division and much more hatred, and it's being stirred on by the Democrats and the media. You know, I'm not even going to put Republicans in that sentiment because the Republicans are not stirring up the hatred. They may be giving the hatred back, but they're not the ones stirring the pot. They're not Nancy Pelosi with drink in hand stirring the pot of hatred and division and racism. Later on in this show, I'm going to talk to you about another segment that is dividing us. And I know all of you have seen it, whether or not you are for or against this particular item, you've seen it. And it's a more divisive item than even what side politically you stand on. This has the potential. This issue here, and I'll talk about it in a little bit here on the show, this issue has potentially a bigger blow up, I guess would be the best word. It's going to blow up. It's going to destroy this country because people are literally looking down on one another for this reason. And some of you may already know what I'm talking about, but for those who don't, you need to hear what I'm going to say because it's true. I've been a recipient of this hatred and this racism and this segregation and this division. And I know I'm not the only one. So on this show, we're going to talk a lot of things. We're going to talk politics. And then I want to end the show on a light note. Here in Michigan, in one of our Great Lakes, I believe it was Lake Michigan. We'll get into that later. We had an amazing find in Lake Michigan. You got to hear this if you haven't heard it. It's so cool what this woman found in Lake Michigan. You got to hear the story. So right now, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to start our segment again on the downfall of America. For those of you who have not opened that mind, you need to sit back. You need to relax. You need to open that mind and hear what we are about to talk about because we are right there. We are on the precipice of losing this country. Whether you want to believe it or not, whether you want to open your eyes or not, you need to. That is my job, is to open your eyes. So again, sit back, relax, open that mind. My name is Tom Velasquez. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. I'll be right back.
The earth is still turning.
Hey everybody, this is Rick Ness, host of the Stuff of Nightmares podcast. Ever since I was a child, I was fascinated by stories of the paranormal and the unknown. Reading about encounters with Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, UFOs, or even living in a house where spirits roam intrigued me. As an adult, reading true crime stories and watching true crime documentaries made me realize that monsters don't just live in your closet or under your bed. Monsters might just live next door. Come with me on a journey to the unknown and the unthinkable, where the things that people do to each other are just as frightening as the things we can't explain. Every episode, I will delve into the world of the paranormal and lesser-known heinous true crime. Each story of the unknown will be true first-hand accounts told by the person that had the experience or submitted to me to be read for them. You can listen to the Stuff of Nightmares podcast on the website at www.thestuffofnightmarespodcast.show, your favorite podcast app, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're going to put some happy music on. That's explosive ear candy. We're going to put some happy music on before I get into the downfall of this country. So our illustrious quote-unquote president, Joe Biden, got up on stage and apparently he diverted from his teleprompter because he went on a rampage and basically picked a fight with Second Amendment supporters. And you have got to hear what this idiot said. This is a 39-second clip, and it is a clip that will scare you if you can read between the lines, because this is just this idiot thinking how he thinks. He doesn't have a teleprompter telling him what to say. This is how this man thinks. Listen to this.
The Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is that there are never been, if you want to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. The point is that there's always been the ability to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
So that was the 39-second clip in its entirety. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to play it for you again and stop it at certain points to give you my thoughts on this, because this isn't just Joe Biden talking. In my opinion, this is a veiled threat. So we're going to go into this again, and we're going to stop it at times, and I'm going to give you my thoughts on what this idiot had to say.
The Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun.
Now, I don't claim to be a Second Amendment scholar, but I've read the Second Amendment numerous times, and never have I seen anywhere in the Second Amendment where it says, you can't own this, you can't own this. Our forefathers brought about the Second Amendment for one reason and one reason only, and we'll get into that in just a second. I think a lot of you already know why, but for those of you who don't, let me just tell you this. It's not about hunting. Let's move on real quick here.
And what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Those who say the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not water with the blood of patriots. What's happened is...
Let me start by saying this. He says the tree of liberty is not watered by the blood of patriots. He couldn't be any farther from the truth. The tree of liberty is solely watered by the blood of patriots. Without those patriots, we wouldn't have our liberty. And then you hear him going into a tirade about, you know, and the stuff, which is typical Joe Biden fashion. He has no idea what he's talking about. He's completely off teleprompter, doesn't remember a thing. So he just says, you know, the stuff. But I digress. Let's move on.
That there are never been, if you wanted to think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons.
And that is the statement that raises my eyebrows. Completely out of the blue. Completely coming from left field. What is this man talking about? Here is my question. Does our government have intel that there is an uprising about ready to happen, and there is an insurrection ready to happen to take over the government in this country? And this is Joe Biden and his handlers' feeble attempt to try and dissuade us, because you want to take on the government, you're going to need F-15s and maybe a couple nuclear weapons. Well, here's my thing. Do you not think in our military there are not patriots out there that will not get us F-15s, that will not get the codes to the nuclear weapons, that will not get us tanks, that will not get us bunker busters, that will not get us anything we need? Military men and women, for the most part, are the true patriots. And they see what's going on. They see where our country's going. And when push comes to shove, when the citizens of this country rise up and try and take back our country, and our government orders these military men and women to shoot upon and kill ordinary American citizens, that's when the rebellion starts. So what do they know? What are they not telling us? Is this a veiled threat? Because that, when I first heard it, that's what I thought. I thought this was a veiled threat. Look, you want to take us on, you're going to need F-15s and nuclear weapons. Don't even try it if you don't have them.
The point is that there's always been the ability to rationally limit the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it.
Again, if I am looking at the same Second Amendment, I'm seeing something completely different. Now, here's the thing. Joe Biden went on to say, who needs a 30, 40, 50-round clip when they're hunting, unless the deer are wearing Kevlar armor? Here's what the left does. They try to take out why the Second Amendment was even there in the first place. And they want to equate it to, listen, you got a bunch of redneck hunters that need 30, 40, 50 rounds to take down a deer. No, no, no. That's not why the Second Amendment is in place. Now, this is where you need to open your mind. Think about this. Why would the Democrats really want to push gun control? Are they really concerned about the safety of everyday citizens? No. It's because they want to do something, and you may have heard this on a Facebook post or somewhere else, but they plan on doing something that the American citizens would shoot them for. Their desire for ultimate power, where they and they alone control everything in this country, knows no bounds. But they know that as long as American citizens have a way to defend themselves, there is a roadblock. That is why the Democrats are so hell-bent on getting rid of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was there strictly so the citizens of this country could rise up and defend themselves against a tyrannical government. And right now, you could say the argument is that the Democrat Party is a tyrannical government. And if you don't believe me, well, here's some other stories that will tell you otherwise. Back a couple months ago, I talked to you about a Holland restaurant owner by the name of Marlena Hackney. Her restaurant was shut down and she was fined due to Governor Whitmer's shutdown orders. The Attorney General of Michigan, Dana Nessel, she got wind from her staffers that Hackney would be interviewed by Fox News host Tucker Carlson. At that point, Attorney General Dana Nessel started sending emails at a feverish pace. Her first email was, "Do we know her whereabouts? We should just have her picked up before she goes on. This is outrageous." The Mackinac Center for Public Policy obtained the email exchange after filing a Freedom of Information Act request with the Department of the Attorney General. It had sought documents related to Hackney's case. Now, Eileen Whipple, an assistant attorney general, sent an email to Nessel and others in office alerting them to Hackney's planned television appearance. Nessel asked in an email thread, "Should I be prepared to respond to this? I hope she gets the full 93 days for this." Now, in another email, Nessel asked about any actions officials within the Michigan State Police were planning. She says, "Does MSP intend to go find her? Or are they planning on waiting until next week?" Whipple told Nessel and others that their office was telling police about this new information. Whipple responded to Nessel's comment about a maximum sentence to Hackney. "As to the length of potential imprisonment, since this is a coercive civil contempt of the court can keep her incarcerated until she complies or it becomes impossible for her to comply." That's scary. Now, the Fox News interview with Hackney aired March 17th. Hackney was arrested by the Michigan State Police on March 19th, and she was released from jail on March 23rd. Kelly Rossman McKinney, spokesman for the Attorney General's office, released a statement on the emails. "Ms. Pavlos Hackney willfully violated the state's food laws, public health orders, and the orders of court. A dangerous act that may have exposed dozens of diners and employees to the virus following the discovery that one of Marlena's customers tested positive for the virus within 2 days of eating there. Ms. Pavlos Hackney's decision to then go on national television and flaunt her noncompliance compromised the state's ability to protect public safety during a global pandemic and likely emboldened others to break the law." Now, I want to go over that last phrase again. Listen to this. "Ms. Pavlos Hackney's decision to then go on national television and flaunt her noncompliance compromised the state's ability to protect public safety during a global pandemic and likely emboldened others to break the law. Let me paraphrase that for you. We are pissed off at Ms. Pavlos Hackney because she defied our orders. This has nothing to do with public health. If it was a public health issue, why would you be able to go grab a lottery ticket, but you can't go to the store and buy seeds? Why would you go be able to grab some alcohol from the store, but you can't drive in a boat by yourself? This isn't, or ever was, a public health issue. This was a compliance to see who would comply and see who wouldn't. These emails right here are scary. And you have to read between the lines. And I'm hoping I'm opening up some minds here. Because what these emails say is that those in power, and it seems to be only the Democrats that are doing this. I'm sorry, I don't see any Republican attorney generals wanting to arrest somebody before they come out on national television and expose the hypocrisy for what it is. This is scary. This is Marxism. This is socialism. This is communism. This is state government run. This is the type of thing that happens when you give government sole power over you. They dictate what happens. I don't want this restaurant owner going on TV and spewing out facts that I don't agree with and I don't think the public should know. So therefore, get a hold of the Michigan State Police and arrest this woman before she goes on television. This is what it is. You will have no say. If they catch wind of you going and talking to somebody in public, they're going to stop you before you even get there. And then we back it up to Joe Biden's not-so-veiled threat. Look, if you want to take on the government, you got to have a bunch of F-15s and some nuclear weapons. I'm taking that as a threat. What do they know? This, ladies and gentlemen, this is as close to socialism, communism, whatever you want to call it, as we have ever been. The problem is we still have people that are all for it. They love it. And the problem I have, and when you look at it with an open mind, you have to come to the conclusion that those that support communism, socialism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it, those that support that failed. They can't do life. They have to have the government control every part of their life. And how sad is that? When you can't function, you can't do life because you just have no way of doing it. You can't cope. You can't comprehend whatever you can't do. You have to have the government do it for you. The most inept organization ever created, government. You want them to run your life. That's a sad, sad state of affair if you are for communism. Because you can't survive in the most prosperous nation in the world. What does that say about your character, and what does that say about you mentally? You are in the most prosperous nation in the world that the world has ever, ever seen. And you can't do it. You can't handle it. You can't go anywhere else on this planet at this time and make it any better than you have right now. And you can't do it. So you, because you can't do it, you want to take everybody else down with you via communism. Because if I'm going down, everybody else is going down with me. What a sad, sad individual you are. Really, I struggled for a long time. I am proof that if you assert yourself, you work hard, you do the right thing, you can succeed in this country. You don't need the government to make you succeed. On the contrary, the government is going to keep their boot to your neck. They're only going to let you up enough, just enough to think, I can almost make it. if I only had a little bit more government help, I could make it. The government doesn't want you to make it. The government wants you responsible for them because then they have the power. A government that doesn't have control of over their people, they don't have the power that they want. America at one point was like that. America was controlled by its people. Somewhere along the line, we lost that. And now we have our country controlled by the government. And look at how well it's doing. And hope you caught the sarcasm in there. Donald Trump was in office. Just do what you want to do. I'll get out of your way. The government's whole goal is to get out of your way. And then Joe Biden and his administration and the Democrats took office. And it was, no, we want to be part of every aspect of your life. And look at how it's going. People aren't working. There's jobs everywhere. Inflation, gas, food, electricity, lumber, you name it. The basic staples of survival are skyrocketing. In 5 months of an administration, our border is just wide open. 2 million people a year, over 2 million illegal immigrants a year are going to come into this country. First year of this administration. This is what happens when the government controls every aspect of any part of your life. And yet, there are people out there that say, give me more. I don't have enough government control in my life. I want you to tell me what to wear every morning. How do I cut my hair? These are what these idiots desire. They have no ambition in life. They don't want to better themselves. Because anybody that would want to better themselves, if they have a brain cell in their head, knows the government is not the way to do it. To better yourself, you pick yourself up. You dust yourself off. And you work your tail off. And I guarantee you, if you work your tail off and you do the right thing, you will succeed. But there are too many out there that don't want to work. They don't want to do the hard stuff. They just want to go and skate by. You know, I want all of this, but I don't want to work for it. Sorry there, Cameron. That's not how it works. So I hope that showed you that we are on a dangerous path. But let's continue to move on to the one of the most left cities in this country, Portland, Oregon. The Democrat-controlled city of Portland, Oregon, announced on Tuesday that it will no longer enforce certain traffic laws, such as expired plates and broken headlights, after they discovered that black people disproportionately violate them. Mayor Ted Wheeler said the aim of the selective enforcement of laws is increasing equity and reducing racial disparities. Now, according to authorities, black people account for 18% of traffic stops in Portland, even though they only comprise about 6% of its population. So this is what it's come down to. The Democrat-controlled authorities in Portland have decided, well, we can't stop these black people from getting pulled over, so we're just going to eliminate those laws. You can drive with expired plates. Hell, you don't even need a license plate. Just drive on. Driver's license? I don't need one. So rather than confront the problem, we're just going to clean it under the rug. It's not there. If I can't see it, it's not there. You want to know my response to that? Here's my response to that.
Stop breaking the law, asshole!
Yes. If you want to reduce the amount of people, black people, getting pulled over, have them stop breaking the law. Don't change the law. Enforce the law. Maybe, just maybe, instead of a slap on the wrist for driving without a license plate or driving with expired tabs, maybe you make the penalties a little bit harsher so people won't break the law. Now, I can hear the left right now. They're screaming in my ear right now. These people can't afford it. They can if they work hard. This country affords them every opportunity.
that they could ever, ever need or they could ever want. There is a choice we make early in life. Are we going to be a good, upstanding citizen, or are we going to be a thug, just a pain in society's side? The majority of us have decided, yes, I'm going to be a good citizen. I'm going to earn my keep. I'm going to pay my taxes. I'm going to go to my job, and I'm going to support my family. But there's that section of the population that says, no, I don't want to work. I don't want to pay taxes. You know, I'm going to break the law. And then I'm going to cry about the racial disparity because I'm breaking the law. I'm going to move to Portland because apparently there's no laws in Portland anymore. If you want an example of what no laws means to a city, look at San Francisco. That will tell you when you just disregard laws, when you disregard public safety, when you just say to the homeless, do what you want. If you want to take a dump in the middle of the street, go right ahead. It's your right. That is what's happening in these Democrat-controlled cities all over the country. When are these people in these Democrat-controlled cities going to stand up and say, wait a minute, I don't want that bum not only in my neighborhood, I don't want him taking a dump in my front yard without any repercussions. Because last time I checked, public defecation, a buddy of mine got busted for public urination years ago. Apparently that's okay now. Public indecency, thing of the past. You don't need a driver's license? No, you're fine. So what? When you get pulled over, what does the officer even say? Or do they even pull you over now? Well, that car has no lights on, has no license plate. It matches the description of a drive-by shooting, but I can't pull him over anymore because it's not against the law. The fact that he's black makes it even worse. Maybe if he was white, then it would be okay, because if you're white, you're racist, automatically. That is the country we live in today. If you're white, it doesn't matter, you're racist. Have fun with that one, Portland. So let's stay on the West Coast and let's move to Seattle. Because a Seattle LGBT celebration, well, it's not an LGBT celebration until you bring a little racism into it. This celebration of Seattle LGBT members will charge individuals with white skin a $50 reparations fee to keep the event free for transgender people of color. I can't make this up. This is a legitimate article. Here is what it said. All are free to attend. However, this is a black and brown, queer, trans-centered, prioritized, valued event. White allies and accomplices are welcome to attend, but will be charged a $10 to $50 reparations fee that will be used to keep this event free of cost for black and brown, trans and queer community. And this, ladies and gentlemen, open your eyes, open your mind. This is the America that we now live in. White LGBT members, if they want to attend this, have to pay a $10 to $50 reparations fee. And that is not racist. It's not discriminatory. That was sarcasm. Again, you know, where is the law in this? Because, you know, you can sue the University of Michigan because you feel that because I am of color, I wasn't chosen to get into this or get this scholarship. Even though you weren't qualified and you took a more qualified person's scholarship away, that's okay. That will go to court and that will be upheld that, yes, it was discriminatory. But to charge white people a fee? I mean, that's blatant discrimination. And let's, for the last segment of this, last story of this segment, let's get into this. I received this message, and it's from Josh Earwood. He says, I just saw a vaccine facts commercial addressing people who have antibodies from having COVID-19. That would, I think he sent it to me because I've been talking about that. I had COVID-19, I had the antibodies. He says, apparently the antibodies you get from having the virus have no known lifespan. It might not even be the right antibodies. Now, first off, when they say they have no known lifespan, what is the lifespan of the vaccine? Does anybody have a clear answer? No, because it hasn't been tested. So, again, apparently the antibodies you get from having the virus have no known lifespan and might not even be the right antibodies. I want to repeat that. The antibodies your body produced to fight the illness might be the wrong antibodies? That's not how the body works. So, therefore, your body produced the wrong antibodies, therefore you need an experimental gene therapy. This is effing insane. This isn't science, is what he wrote to me. And no, it's not science. There is overwhelming evidence coming out that's being suppressed that those of us who have had COVID have antibodies, and we can fight it better than people with the vaccine. But the government doesn't want you. It does not want you to know that. Now, Florida, everybody was applauding, those of us on the right side of the aisle, applauding Florida, basically saying, listen, we will not be supporting a vaccine passport. Everybody's like, yeah, rock on, Florida. Well, did you realize in the last line of that bill, it basically says that the health department has the authority to force you to receive the vaccine? Look it up. It went to committee to take that part out. It never went past committee. So everybody's up in arms swinging going, yeah, all right, Florida, you're leading the charge. No vaccine passport. They also put in there that the health department can force you to get vaccinated. How, A, is that constitutional? And I understand the Constitution is in the dire straits right now. The Constitution does not really hold a lot of water in this day and age in America. This is what bothers me. Who is going to tell me what I can and cannot have in my body? What I should and should not be injecting in my body? You have an experimental, you can't even call it a vaccine because it hasn't been tested. It's under emergency authorization. You have this injection, we'll call it, that we don't know what it does to you. We just lost a 13-year-old child here in Michigan, in mid-Michigan, 2 days after he received his second COVID vaccine due to a heart condition that over in Oregon, they're having tons of problems with, where it's fluid around the heart and it enlarges your heart. The media is completely disregarding this. The vaxxers are completely disregarding this. I read a post and I read a comment that somebody said, well, you know what? Vaccines aren't perfect. I'll take my chances. Tell that to that 13-year-old's parents. You as a parent have one job, and that is to protect and raise your children. You have to choose what is best for them. It's not the government's job. It's not the psychiatrist's job. It's not the school's job. It is your job and your job only. You have to protect your children. I hate to say it, but this 13-year-old child's parents did not protect them. They didn't do the research. It is horrible, and I feel horrible for his parents that he had to die because of the vaccine. Well, Tom, it's not proven. What more proof do you need? There are cases spreading like wildfire. It's funny how you hear a daily COVID count on how many people have COVID and how many people died from COVID every day. I'd like to see the count of how many people have had adverse side effects or major medical conditions or even died from the COVID vaccine. You don't hear that, though. Nobody ever talks about that. I would love to have a daily running count of that. But you're not, it's not going to happen. As a parent, I have made the choice that this vaccine is too unknown and too basically deadly. It is possibly deadly to my children. And I'm not going to let them have it. My sons, they've all had COVID. My wife has had COVID. I've had COVID. My daughter wasn't with us on our spring break in Florida. As far as I know, she hasn't had COVID. She hasn't been tested positive. But thankfully, she has the same frame of thought that her parents do, that I don't want it. It's not proven. Where does the line get drawn? Because I mentioned early in the show that there is a new segment of the population that's being discriminated against and segregated. And that is those of us who choose not to get the vaccine. We are looked down upon. We are looked upon as not caring about other people. Go to your Facebook post about anything that has to do with the vaccine and read the comments. We are looked down upon. As I mentioned last week, history is going to prove that those of us who did not get the vaccine will be right. You are going, these people that have, and it pains me to say this because most of the people I know have received both doses of the vaccine. And you are going to see that these people have health problems galore. Because we are introducing a spike protein into their bodies, which is a toxin. And it's going to make people sick. It's who knows? I think down the road you're going to see cancer cases just skyrocket. Because you are introducing a non-natural element into people's bodies. The body fights that. It can't fight this because it's not natural. I can't tell you how many people that I've heard, in many people I've talked to, that said, yeah, I got so sick after the second shot. But that's good. That means it worked. Does it? Because to me, that's asinine thinking. When your body gets sick, when you get, 2 days sick in bed from a quote-unquote vaccine, well, it's my immune system kicking in. No. If your immune system was kicking in, you wouldn't be that sick. They're injecting spike proteins, a toxin in you. You know, I pray that these girls that are getting it at a young age, I hope they did not want children when they get older, because you are going to see a mass group of people that are sterile. They can't produce because this antibody or this vaccine they're finding accumulates in the spleen, in the lymph nodes, and it conglomerates into the ovaries, making these girls sterile. But you don't hear about that. All you hear about is the people that refuse to get vaccinated because they don't care about anybody. My view on this is if you have not been vaccinated because you have done the research, kudos to you. You've done the research. You see the dangers ahead. You will take your chances. And trust me, I can speak from experience. COVID is not fun. But the long-term side effects that these COVID vaccines are going to give you, oh, they're going to be even worse. So, that's the end of this segment. And let me know what you think. Where are we in American history right now? Are we at the end of the American Republic? Let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Or you can contact me at 989-607-4722. Leave me a message. Let me know what you think. We're going to come back, and I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit. You're going to hear a story about a diver in Michigan who found an awesome artifact on the bottom of the Sheboygan River. Sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
This is Jim.
Hey, and this is Mike.
Be sure to listen to
the Jim and Mike Talk Podcast.
Two Gen Xers walk into a bar
to talk about music
and what moves them.
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify,
and our host site, Podbean.
And now, on to the Paranormal Patriot.
We're going to end the show on a lighter note because of with all the dark and dismal news I gave you, I think I should end it on a lighter note. We're going to talk about boat captain Jennifer Dowker. She runs shipwreck tours all summer long, so she knows that there are all sorts of secrets hidden under the surface of Michigan waterways. She was shocked at what she found. Now, again, Dowker is the owner of the Nautical North Family Adventures and was scuba diving in the Sheboygan River on Friday to clean the windows on the bottom of her glass-bottom boat, the Yankee Sunshine, when she made a discovery. Now, Miss Dowker, she has a small collection of bottles and other odds and ends she's collected while diving. Well, while cleaning the bottom of her glass-bottom boat in the Sheboygan River, an old-fashioned green bottle caught her eye. It was sitting on the bottom of the river about 10 feet underwater, she told CNN. She said, "At first I thought it was just a cool bottle, and then I picked it up. When it was still under the water, I could read the word this in the paper." She said, "It was kind of like, holy smokes, we've got a message in a bottle here. Cool." When she got back to the surface, Dowker showed the bottle to her first mate and a potential diving client who had been watching her from inside the boat. She said the bottle was filled about two-thirds with water and still had part of the cork inside, but its seal had deteriorated over the years. She was able to fish out the note with a small tool and gently unrolled it to read the message. The note inside the bottle was dated November 19. 1926, 95, almost 95 years ago. It said, "Will the person who finds this bottle return this paper to George Morrow, Sheboygan, Michigan, and tell him where it was found?" Now that, my friends, is a once-in-a-lifetime find. You know, I always, when I'm on the beach or, you know, wading through Lake Michigan looking for sharks, I'm always looking for that message in a bottle. And this lady found it. How cool is that? It's 95 years old. And the bottle was still not fully engulfed with water. So think about this. When they opened it up, air from 1926 escaped. Kind of cool. And then they were still able to read the note. I have to know from my listeners, if you have ever found a message in a bottle, please, please let me know. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Or tell me about this message in a bottle at 989-607-4722. These are the types of stories that just enthrall me. I love the history aspect of it. To think somebody in November of 1926 was on the banks of the Sheboygan River, who knows where, threw that bottle in, and that bottle has been in that water for 95 years. 95 years. Somebody found it 95 years later. It still had air from 1926 in there. That's such the cool part. And then to be able to read that letter. As of now, she is trying to find the relatives of George Morrow so she can give them the note. I would love, and you will hear, the rest of the story on this. So again, if you have ever found a message in a bottle or you have found cool things like that, maybe something in the wall of a house when you were redoing a house or a hidden room. I love hidden rooms. Absolutely love hidden rooms in houses. Oh my gosh. Contact me. ghostseeker4@charter.net. Tell me all about it. Or you can talk to me about it at
907-989-607-4722. So we are going to cut this show a little short this week, but that's only because on Sunday the plan is to have a special episode due to the release, June 25th. They're releasing the UFO report. But also, on June 25th, big news. Multiple Myself, Tommy V, yours truly, and my brother, our music. Our latest song, 80s Kid Totally Tubular Mix, is going to be released on over 25 stations across this country. Think about that. That is huge. Bunch of old white guys out there rapping, and our music is going to be played on the radio across the country. So, if you haven't already listened to it, go to Spotify, Tidal, Google, iTunes, Apple Music, wherever you get your music. Multiple Myself and Tommy V, 80s Kid Totally Tubular Mix. If you grew up in the 80s, you will relate to this song. Great song. People seem to really love it. That's why it's on the radio. People have really, really loved this song. So, hey, this might be the makings of a great thing. So, again, thank you for listening to the show this week. Any comments, concerns, questions, contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. Or you can reach me at 989-607-4722. Thank you for listening this week. To all you socialists out there, hey, sorry you couldn't make it in the most prosperous country in the world. Better luck next time. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will talk to you next week.